Thousands of young people are gathering a few kilometers outside of Sao Paulo, Brazil, for a special meeting with the Pope, who is on his second day of his sixth apostolic voyage. But this is not the only item that was on Pope Benedict's agenda for today. Our own Emer McCarthy is in Brazil following the Pope's trip and joins us live on the line. Good evening, Emer.
Good evening, Charles. Yes, well, the city of Sao Paulo woke up this morning in a very different mood because their Pope, Bindo XVI, is here. Since his arrival last night, a crowd of hundreds has held a constant vigil in the square outside the small Benedictine monastery of São Bento, right in the heart of the historic center. They're singing, chanting, and dancing, determined that the Pope feel their joy at his presence on Brazilian soil. Right now, the Pope is in the monastery itself. He's currently having lunch with the leaders of Brazil's Bishops' Conference. Archbishop Rocha, who was elected to the position of conference president just this week at the end of the CNBB assembly May 9th. His first meeting, therefore, the Pope was the head of the Brazilian Church, the largest in the world, which we must remember that the country has over 430 bishops. Earlier today, Charles, Pope Benedict XVI left the monastery to pay a courtesy call on the Brazilian President Lula. The President is staying at Sao Paulo's Governor's Palace, accompanied by Nuncio to Brazil, Baldassare, and the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Mamberti. The Holy Father met with both the President and the State Governor, José Serra, who, interestingly enough, Charles, is Lula's political rival, so we saw the two faces of Brazilian politics united there in their meeting with the Pope. Now, the meetings were strictly private in nature, as was the Pope's second appointment of the morning, his meeting with leaders of other Christian confessions and religious leaders. Those invited to this morning's encounter are all members of Brazil's National Ecumenical Council, CONIC, of which the Bishops' Council is also part. The group included Walter Altman, who is president of Brazil's Evangelical Lutheran Church, also member of the World Council of Churches, the Bishop Primate of the Anglican Church of Brazil, Reverend Manuela Miranda of the United Presbyterian Church, and Antonio Bonci of the Reformed Christian Church. The group also included the Metropolitan Bishop of Brazil's Orthodox Church, who is a close collaborator of the Vatican, as well as Rabbi Henry Sobel and Sheikh Hussein Saleh, representative of the Brazilian Muslim community. The group met with the Pope on his return to the monastery shortly after midday local time. That was just under an hour ago. There was no official statement, Charles, as it was a very informal meeting. However, another interesting point, I think, is that throughout the Pope's movements this morning, he was accompanied by a cortege not only of security guards, but also of ordinary Brazilians in their cars and bikes or even by foot, Charles. This really is the biggest event to hit Brazil in over 10 years, as the Archbishop of Sao Paulo, Archbishop Scherer, told journalists earlier today. So it's been a relatively quiet morning so far for the Pope on day two of his journey in Brazil.
Well, you say it's a quiet morning, Emer, but this evening, Pope Benedict XVI is due to meet with young people, one of the central events of this five-day trip. How is the atmosphere on the ground ahead of this evening's meeting?
Charles, to describe it as electric would be a massive understatement. The gates of Pacaembu Stadium, which is home to the city's beloved football team, it's called the Parmeiras, opened shortly after 11 a.m. this morning. The latest reports we have is that already almost all of the 30,000 places in the stadium have been filled with groups of young people from all over Brazil, from the Amazon in the far north to the southern plains. But not only, a further 2,000 places, Charles, have been reserved for young people from nations beyond Brazil's border, from Paraguay, Uruguay, Colombia, Mexico, many of them traveling across these vast distances by bus. They've been traveling by bus for weeks and weeks. This is how much the young people of Latin America want to see and meet Pope Benedict and hear what he has to say to them. But they're not the only ones. Here at the press center, there are over 3,000 journalists who are following this historic trip, and they've spoken of little else all morning since the Pope's arrival here, even yesterday evening. They all recognize that this is of key importance, that his message the Pope will give to the youth of this evening is a fundamental part of his trip. The Pope himself has also repeatedly underscored, both in his Regina Coeli address last Sunday, again yesterday in his arrival speech to the nation, that this continent of hope is a young continent, it's a Catholic continent, and its future depends on the formation of the younger generations. So anticipation is high ahead of the event, which is due to start at 6 p.m. local time. Now, earlier today, Charles, I met with Moises Lauro, who is founder of the Catholic community of Shalom, Brazil's largest lay youth movement. Over 20,000 of them will be in the Pacaembu Stadium later tonight with the Pope.
Moses
said that his movement started over 25 years ago when he himself was quite young. It was born in the northeast of the country, a place called Fortaleza, one of the regions worst affected by poverty here in Brazil. He said it started out as a pizzeria, would you believe, Charles, as a place where young people could just come together and talk and share their problems and their hopes. 25 years on, it has branches all over the world in Europe and Africa, particularly targeting problem areas, regions where violence, poverty and crime affects the young, just as it does here in Brazil. Now, Moises said that this evening during the vigil, five people will have been chosen from right across the Latin America continent, and that they will tell their story to the Pope. They will talk about the relationship between the youth and the church, about the problem of access to education, the widespread unemployment and the scourge of violence and drugs, which fills prisons right across Brazil with young people. Moises also pointed out that for many, this will be the first time they will have ever met or seen a pope. He said the young people, in turn, are looking forward to hearing words of encouragement and support from Pope Benedict, and that they hope he will speak to them from the heart and reinforce them in their faith. Because, as Moises pointed out, it is a real challenge to be a young Christian in today's world. However, he also added that the youth of Latin America can give a lot to the universal church and maybe even to its pastor, such as their vitality, their missionary desire to help. This, he said, is what they can offer to the rest of the faithful. Now, Charles, our colleague Chris Altieri has been taking a closer look at the place young people hold in Brazilian society.
The young people of Brazil represent Brazilian society's greatest resource and are also the hope of the church in Brazil for the future. There are significant challenges, however, including unemployment, education, and a creeping sense of hopelessness that leads many young people to abandon the practice of their faith and embrace the empty promises of drugs, alcohol, and crime. The Archbishop of Aparecida, Raimundo Damasceno Assis, says the key to the future is a rediscovery of the universal call to discipleship.
We have to be disciple first, and then, as consequence, we have to be witness of Christ in the society, in our family, in our social life.
In Brazil, 64% of the population is Catholic. The figure is down from 74% a decade ago, according to a recent study. Nearly 70% of the population is working age, and more than a quarter of all Brazilians are under the age of 18. The Holy Father called for greater dynamism and missionary commitment while speaking to reporters on board his plane en route to Brazil. Archbishop Assis says the missionary effort must involve everyone in the church, regardless of vocation.
We have to work closely, bishops, priests, and the religious people, and the baptized people. The mission belongs to the Holy Church.
On Sunday, ahead of the Holy Father's arrival, the Brazilian Bishops' Conference approved a request drafted by the youth sector of the conference's Committee on the Laity, in which Brazil's bishops proposed to host the 2011 World Youth Day. I'm Chris Altieri.
Now, over those 30,000 young people, once this event is finished, once this meeting with the Pope is finished, intend to cross the city to Campo de Marta, where they are going to hold a vigil all night long ahead of tomorrow's central appointment for the Brazilian faithful, the canonization of the nation's first saint, Frei Galvão, tomorrow morning. Charles.
Thank you, Eimer.